There's coming a day very, very soon that we'll do all of our meditation and study and all in the privacy of our own home. And then we'll come here and just worship. Just worship. You'll come out of your private time of praise and worship at home and you'll walk right into corporate worship. Well, good evening. How many of you brought your handout tonight? Well, I'm impressed. Wonderful. For those of you that were not here the last two services, you're not late, and you really haven't missed anything. The nice thing is you'll be able to go out on the web and you'll be able to download the two services. I believe I've been asked by the Lord not to backtrack and not to go back over the foundations that have already been laid. He really said that to the prayer center maybe 5-6 years ago when he said the foundation has been laid and there's no need to relay the foundation. Go forward. In the handout, if you turn to page 2, backside of page 1, we're going to start at the paragraph that says intensity. And I'm going to take a sidetrack as soon as David brings down another sheet for you. It's a good possibility that I missed this afternoon in prayer, and so I'm going to have to backtrack myself to hand you out another word. Probably the principal thing that the Lord is wanting to teach us or to share with us, at least during this time, is how important it is that every single word that comes forth from the prayer center, that you live it, you eat it, and you fully understand it. There's not a single word in this handout or that's put out on the web that has not only been judged, reviewed by at least 2 or 3 witnesses to be sure that it is accurate and it's what the Father is saying. In no case do we put the voice or the name to a voice. And the handout that I'm going to hand out next tells you some of the reasons why. Some of the growth of the family is at a place where if certain individuals would give the word, they would reject it or they wouldn't want to listen to it. It's only where they're walking. It's where we've all walked. There's none of us that says, you know, how could he have ever given a word? You know, I know his life. But you'll read in this that I'm right now handing out, I believe this is going to be another foundational word. I believe yours is titled, Hearing My Words as My Life to You. As a father to my family, I am about to give you a key. He's chose to be a father in this word. And he's speaking to the entire family. He's not talking to a single member. He's talking to the entire family in this word. And he says, I'm about to give you a key. For each one who picks up this key, it will be your staff of victory. If you don't pick it up, you will not walk in the victory that he's speaking of here. You will have some victory, but you won't have the full victory that he wants you to walk in. And he's talking to each one of us. He's not talking to what we would call leadership or ushers. He's talking to every single part of the body, every single part of the family. He's not only talking to the family that we say the family, the prayer center. You know, he's speaking to everyone that is part of his family. The majority of the family does not have this word. The majority of the family, he is unable to bring this type of revelation, knowledge, and truth to. That's changing. Definitely changing. But it's a matter that when he brings forth a key for your victory, we need to spend some time, a great deal of time, on understanding the key and what it unlocks. The next statement is, take each word I speak to you as if it is said only to you, as a family, as a father. He's saying that every word that I speak, I'm speaking to you. I'm also speaking to the next part of the body, which is sitting next to you. But you absolutely need to take it as a personal word. As a personal word. And then he says, if you think of it for someone else and not you, you have already erred, and an adjustment must be made in you towards truth. We talked about and shared a word that he brought forth, that he was reestablishing a desire in each one of our hearts for the words that he brings forth. And in direct proportion to you, that you give your life to those words, is in direct proportion that you will reap his will for your life. The season that we're in and the near future that we're walking in, you must have, or I should say, please have, this as a foundation, as a cornerstone in your life. Each word I speak to you that I do not specifically to another, it as if it is to you alone. You have to take ownership. If I had a word for Mike tonight, and the Lord brought a word through me for Mike, he would address Mike. Mike would be possibly standing in front of me, and I would say, thus saith the Lord, Mike. It would have everything to do with Mike's blueprint. It would have everything to do with how heaven sees Mike. It would have everything to do with the next step he's supposed to take to fulfill God's perfect will in his life here on the earth. But when he brings forth a word, like we're going to be reading and reviewing, you really have to take it in and say, he's really not talking to anybody else but me, even though We know he's talking to other people, but you have to take ownership of it. You can't be a spectator. You can't say, oh, that must be for someone else. Just like he was saying, each word I speak to you that I do not specifically to another, it is if you are alone, if it is for you alone. Just as in the days of old, he's talking about the Old Testament. He's talking about the New Testament. But as the days of old, he's talking about primarily the Old Testament. He's talking about all of the rejection that they gave, every word that came forth from a prophet. And he's saying, just as in days old, those who heard my words often cut off the message in judgment of the messenger, so it is often in my family. We've had words that have come forth with someone that had a mic next to their mouth, and they reject the word because they're looking at the messenger. We have others that, because it was directed primarily to them, because that's where they were walking, and there were maybe 10 or 20 other people walking the same place, they've rejected the word because it seemed too hard, or you're now prying into my business or whatever, and they don't understand that all the individual is a mouth, and he's operating from the mind of Christ, what the Holy Spirit's telling him to say. We understand that. But for each one of you, for where we're headed and where we already are standing, you're just going to need to know that you have ate this word, or the words that have come forth, to where they're bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh, like the Lord has said. Going to have to put them as a priority. For those who are concerned, somewhat concerned, about a word coming forth that you don't understand or you're not sure of, go find 3 or 4 scriptures that has the same principle, exactly the same thing being said within the written word. Study. Study it out. What do you mean by it? What do you mean by it? Because it'll be there. It will be there. I'm sure, and I'm sure you're aware that, to me, the Holy Spirit knows exactly what we need, and he becomes the individual that pulls out from the written word and says it better or different in a language that we can understand, because he's already looked at each one of our hearts. He knows exactly where we are. And he says, I'm going to choose to say it this way. But you can go find every paragraph, every line, go look, study it. That's part of meditation. That's part of confession. You know, the 7 keys that we've talked about in the past. Is there any word of my word that was not recorded for you? Is not each one of my words recorded just for you? So it is with the words I speak this day and the words that I've spoken to you. If you will choose to hear each word I speak as me speaking to you, and choose to do what I ask you to do, you will not lose. You will win every time. You will live a life of winning. If you will take each word that has come from me, all that has been said for you, and take them to yourself as if they are brand new, and sit with me waiting on God, and hear me speak them to you, you will be my disciples, and my life will come forth in you. This key is my delight to give to you. It's not the first time that he's given it to us, nor is it the first time he's given it to the body of Christ. But when this came forth, it was his delight. Evidently, he has known our hearts, and that we're a place that we're going to be able to receive it better now or more now than where we were in the past. But he's delighted. I don't know if you take the word or the words that have come forth. I don't know if you have a practice, but this might be something that you would enjoy doing. Take your favorite verses or your favorite passages. Look them up and say, Father, I'm just going to read this to you today. I just want you to know I really love this, but I want you to hear it from me. And you begin to read them to him. The level of fellowship that comes because you know that he's listening to what you're reading to him and it was his word. We do that with confessions, right? I mean, we design confessions. But it's just a lot. I'm going to say it's fun. It's very much enjoyable that I know that he's listening to me when I read to him. Just like my grandchildren. And just like Leah did for our children, a midnight story or a going to bed story. I just enjoy reading this out loud to you. You'll end up enjoying it. If you choose to hear the word, if you will take each word that has come from me, all that has been said for you, and take them to yourself, and if they are as if they were brand new, and sit with me, and hear me speak them to you, you will be my disciples, and my life will come forth in you. This key is my delight to give to you. I speak these things not in disappointment, but in joy that these words can be spoken to you. You evidently qualified. That you have given him permission from your heart for him to be able to tell you this. That's fellowship. And he's saying, there's no disappointment in me about your past or about where you were. I'm excited. I'm pleased that I'm able to speak this to you now. You are receivers of truth, and there are many things I have yet to say to you. Many things. As you hear and embrace this key of hearing my words as my life to you, you will be ready for the things I am preparing you for that I will say to you. Great is my delight in you. And great is my joy that I may come now and say these things to you. My words are life to you, and abiding in my word is discipleship in you. As you follow these instructions I give you, more instructions can come. I will speak to you as family, and I will speak to you as sons. Great is my joy this day. That word came May 2nd, 2010. If we would have taken that word May 3rd, 2010 and put it inside of us, we would have had it for the last 4.5 years. The nice thing about the Lord is you never fail a test. The enemy will tell you you failed, but you never fail a test with the Lord. Never, ever. And the reason for that is he gives you an opportunity to take it over. Father, forgive me. I forgive everybody their trespasses against me. Confession that we do it, calling in the lost. And because of the blood of the Lord Jesus, according to my record in heaven, I've never failed you. If that's hard for you to say and hard for you to believe and receive, just begin doing it. And the love that he has for us will still the enemy's voice that you're a failure or that you missed it. Okay, let's go to your handout. The title of this one was It is Time of Necessary Equipping. We went over life as you have known it. At the beginning of the end, and the end comes quickly as you follow me. That all had to do with selling out. That all had to do with laser focus. That all had to do with forgiving everyone. Where we go, I have given you glimpses, but to glimpses and to live it are entirely different things. The glimpses are part of your preparation, and these glimpses are changing into reality in your thinking. Only if you have fellowship with him will the glimpses begin to be reality. They will always be glimpses. Your glimpses is different than my glimpses. I believe I ask what everyone felt as though Dave's glimpses was, Pastor Dave. Okay. Pastor Dave's glimpses is empty in the hospitals. You don't have a cup of coffee with him, or you don't have a meeting, or if you have any fellowship with him when the opportunity arises. You won't leave the fellowship, and you won't leave the table, or, you know, he will still be talking about emptying the hospitals. He will be talking about Jesus is Lord over Tulsa, and Tulsa's in revival. Okay. Intensity. Intensity is required to turn glimpses into reality. This is your laser focus as you leave all behind and sell out to me. We are leaving your past behind. The past ways of thinking as you learn more about living in me. Everything that is not part of life in me is being removed, destroyed, and forsaken as your fellowship with me increases. I'm sure every one of you are experiencing it. You cannot not be experiencing it. And you may be not recognizing that you're experiencing it. But you are not who you were even a day ago. As you continue to walk in fellowship with him. I don't know who first said it, that the Lord can be very sneaky, and as you're conforming to his image, have you ever noticed when your flesh is being mortified? I don't see any hands. It just happens. It just happens. And you're the last one to recognize it, that you're different. You know, your desires, your longings, your love, it's different. There's not a single person that I'm looking at or even listening to me that you don't have some level of intensity, that you're pressing towards the mark. Every one of us, every one of us. Some may demonstrate it so we can see it. In some cases, that's not the intensity that the Lord's talking about. But every one of you, when you put your head on the pillow tonight, you can say, I've been intense today. I'm pressing towards the mark. The enemy would try to bring weariness and well-doing. He would try to bring destruction of reasoning. He would try to make you feel like you're nothing. But that is your unrestored soul that he's speaking to. You know that he does not have a right to go into the Holy of Holies, which is your born-again spirit. He doesn't have a right, nor does he have that authority. You know how mad it makes the enemy when you begin to pray in tongues? Because he doesn't understand a thing you're saying. Nothing. You understand? When he watches you praise and worship, that he no longer can do that. And you're giving him the biggest insult a human being can give, is that you are praising and worshiping the Lord and ignoring him. No wonder why he gets so aggravated. Necessity. Live by necessity. Do what is necessary, but do it in me. That's co-laboring. Your family. If you want to highlight something, you need to highlight this paragraph. Your family. Your friends. Your job. Your schooling, the necessities of life are part of your equipping and training. You will be learning a new focus in me in those things. They are an essential part of your equipping, and I am increasing my life in you in these things. Your job is an essential part of your equipping. Your family, your friends, your schooling is a necessary part. But he's saying here, and has said it, go look it up in the Word. There's scripture after scripture. He's saying that I am using the necessities of your life to train you. To train you. The devil would tell you that they are stopping you. He would tell you that you're late. He would tell you you have failed. If you want to write down Genesis 50:20, it would sum it up real good. It's when Joseph was sent ahead X number of years ahead of time into Egypt, and all of his brothers put him in a pit, you remember, and then, okay, we might as well make a little bit of money off of this, so we'll get him out of the pit and sell him. And then they come X number of years later, out of food, famine, etc. And they don't even recognize him. He's probably good looking, and he looks more like an Egyptian at the time, but, you know, the clothing. And here's what he said to them in Genesis 50:20. But as for you, the decisions you made, you thought evil against me. You thought evil against me. But God meant it into good to bring pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Take every problem you've ever had. Every problem you ever had. Every problem that you have today. Every one of them. Everything the enemy's telling you about your failure, etc., etc. And realize that those necessities that you're walking through right now is perfecting you for you, for you to save much people alive. The Lord recently said along this same line, you know, don't forget to do the small things. Remember that one? Do the small things, because the small things is what is part of your transformation. The small things, the things of necessity, the things that are necessary, the character that he's building, the patience that he's building, the long-suffering that he's building. Take everything. You won't have to deal with that, okay? You'll probably be dealing with something else, but you won't have to be dealing with those, because he's right now, you're in training. You're right now in training. I mean, take David's life as a shepherd. Okay. All that he must have learned to when the Lord anointed him, that he realized that he was not allowed to touch Saul. I think he could have killed him 2 times or 3 times, but he never touched him. Where did he learn that? If it wasn't, you know, a 8-to-5 job every day, the Lord teaching him about his timing, about his patience, the necessities. Laser focus on me in your daily living and set aside time for just you and me, where I can draw you into me and bring change upon change and equipping. That's waiting on the Lord, one of the 7 keys. Set aside time. If you look at your life right now, I won't audit your life, but I promise each one of you, without knowing you personally, that you are spending more time with the Lord alone than you ever have in your life. And if you haven't begun to do it, the desire that's within your heart to do it causes your soul to be upset because you're pressing towards the mark. Oh, if I had more time. Oh, if I had more time. I want to spend more time with you. Laser focus. Be filled with me. I am your reality. And as you see more and more of me, you see more and more of your reality. Your life in me is your reality in all things. Times in my presence are full of life and vitality and reality. Time in my presence are your strength and equipping. Time in my presence are your refreshing. Time in my presence are essential and a necessary part of your equipping. Take the times to pull aside and give yourself to me, and I will give you much of me. You walk in his presence. He never leaves you, right? You're never out of his presence. Your soul may not be recognizable in his presence, except when we do praise and worship and that type of thing. But you're never out of his presence. Your born-again spirit is always in his presence because that's where he is. Truth. My words are life, and they are truth. And they are becoming a living part of you. Take my truth and feed upon it until it becomes a part of you. Until my words are reality to you. My words are life. My words are truth. And my words are reality to you. Feed upon my words of life to you. They are essential and necessary in all that you do. There is no me and you without my words of life to you. There is no fellowship, right? There's no fellowship outside of his word with him. Their life. We discussed that or shared that last couple services before this one. In direct proportion to how you give your life to his word is in direct proportion to how you reap or how you live. I am preparing an army equipped with only that which is necessary. We cannot take non-essential things with us on this path of reality of life in me. The essentials, if you write down Ephesians 6, verse 12 and 13, the army that he's equipping is not an army of the flesh. We know, I mean, I know you know this. Ephesians verse 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, or wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." The armor is the essentials. You know you're never going to lose. You know that the Lord has never lost. I mean, he doesn't even think about losing. I mean, it's not even in his character to say, "I'm a loser," or "I missed it," or "I failed." The losses that we've sustained in most cases, if not all cases, is when we went to war and he didn't ask us to go there. I mean, what father would ask the child to go do something that he knew ahead of time he was going to be defeated? I mean, what earthly father would say, "Go do that, and I know you're going to fail, but I'm just going to stand here and watch you fail and take great joy in watching you fail"? That's an earthly father. What father, earthly father, would say, I want you to do that. I know you can't do that by yourself, so I'm going to come and help you. The army and the war that each one of us are going to be in, individually and corporately, has already been won. Already been won. It is a time of deciding and dividing. And your fellowship with me will bring increase in this. We will be deciding and choosing, and you will be drawing dividing lines in your life as you continue to focus intensely on me. It is the year of selling out to me. My pleasure abounds at what I see in your heart and in your understanding. Your choices have pleased me. Have you heard him say that to you personally? If you haven't, he just did. He just did. Rest assured, you are rapidly approaching days in me of truly great and mighty things. These days will come quickly, though that is not how it has seemed. And you will say, how hard it seemed then, but I now see it was not as hard as it seemed. Life in me, live in me, I am your reality. Are any of you having an easy time right now? Tiptoeing through the tulips and no struggles, you know, no battle with your soul, and everything is hunky-dory or rosy and everything. You will be and live to where you say, how hard it seemed then, but I now see it's not as hard as it seemed. If we increase our fellowship, it will seem less hard. Next one is, I'm here. You are not alone. Let's see where you... Is that your next one? I am purifying fellowship with me. A dividing began when I spoke at a time that was beginning when messages would not be namby-pamby. Instead, they would be messages to those who were ready to continue forward in a narrow place of fellowship with me. This is continuing, but things have accelerated. He continually, in these that we're sharing, has everything to do with fellowship. Do you remember when he said namby-pamby messages? These two prophecies, this particular word, was not given through the mouth of the first time he said, namby-pamby. And as we were sharing this, the last service, you know, it's interesting that we read these and the Lord chooses to use words from his vocabulary that we don't have in ours. I can't think of anyone that would walk around saying namby-pamby, okay? The first time he said it, I'm going to read this one. It would be good, my 2 cents worth, is if you took this handout and began to do what we're doing corporately, that you begin to highlight you begin to say, what do you mean by this? That's digesting it. That's eating it. That's putting His Word as the first place in your life. The messages that are coming, I'm just going to read this, hopefully without comment. This was given to the prayer center, to us, June the 20th, 2011. Remember, he was sharing with us recently that prophecies that are being spoken has a shorter time frame to the fulfillment. Used to be that prophecies would be spoken by someone, and 10 years later we would look back and say, oh, he said that 10 years ago. But because of where we are, the entire body of Christ, seems like he is speaking, or he is speaking, and telling us now, and very soon thereafter, in his timing, it is fulfilled. This was given in 2011. The messages that are coming will not be namby-pamby, and those who do not know me will find them very hard to tolerate in their souls. Some of these I speak of sit in the midst of you, and some will find it very hard to restrain themselves from leaving. Some will leave, and some will stay, but with much struggle. These are not easy days that are coming. There will also be those who listen on the web who are not doing the message, which is the seven keys, and they will find them very intolerable for their souls. But it is necessary for these messages to come forth. For the building I am building must be built in the manner in which I am building it, so that it will not be shaken in the storms that lie ahead. I am preparing a people to walk through storms in peace. My peace comes from fellowship with me, and this fellowship is your strength. Those who do not know the message of my fellowship will not be able to stand through some of the storms that you will walk through. How about that? You're just going to walk through them. You've already walked through them. You're going to walk through more of them. I'm not saying that it's going to be a stroll in the park, but I am saying you're going to walk through them because he promised it. My peace comes from fellowship with me, and this fellowship is your strength. Those who do not know the message of my fellowship will not be able to stand through some of the storms that you will walk through. But because you are listen, I don't know why you're not saying amen. But because you are allowing my truth to be spoken and my building to be built tall and strong, your building will stand in the storms ahead. Rejoice, rejoice, and be glad that I am able to say these things that I'm saying. These are the things that I have waited and wanted to say, and that are necessary for what lies ahead, and are necessary for the outpouring that will come, which will precede my return. Oh, I am glad. back to yours. I'm taking my people into a fellowship with me that is not restrained by, how do you say that one? What? Okay, of the soul. What does that mean? Anybody know what that word means? I can tell you what it means, but it's one of those words that he chooses to put inside words to say, are you paying attention? Are you taking for granted what I'm saying? Do I really have your attention? Are you going to go look this word up and find out what it means? Because I know the majority of who I'm saying this to is not, they don't know what that means, and I want you to know what it means. What's it mean?
Turmoil.
What's that?
Turmoil. Anger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. My beloved ones are being purified and strengthened in these times with me. They are not easy times on the soul, but they are good times. These truly are good times. My word is beginning to take its proper place in the heart, a place of receiving and understanding. Faith is of the heart, and the days ahead will require strength in believing, for I will be taking many into unforeseen places in me, places of faith and great and mighty things. And to do so requires an earnest place of fellowship and believing. I am so pleased. I am so pleased to be taking many into this place with me. I'm preparing an army who will serve me, who will bring about swift justice. If there's anything lacking in the body of Christ, this is my opinion, is justice. Is justice. And the Lord is saying, there's not only going to be justice, but you're going to be walking in authority that it is going to be swift. The little children are going to be brought and given justice. His throne, the Father's throne, is established on two things, righteousness and justice. That's why he chose Abraham. He looked out, he looked at everybody on the face of the earth, everyone, and found a man that the Father says about him, that I know him. I know him. That means I know his heart. I know him. And I know he will raise his children and he will walk in righteousness and justice. You watch. You'll see it come. You'll see it come to Tulsa. You'll see all of the injustice and you will be a part of bringing the justice. You watch. You watch. Who will bring about swift justice indeed and will set many, many captives free, an army who abides in fellowship with me. The words I speak and the written word are the life, the strength, the nourishment, and the equipping that will carry the fuel and fuel this army. Truly, my people live not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from me. I am equipping an army who hears me, believes me, and obeys me. My word first in everything. This is the purifying I'm bringing. I'm fashioning a people to adhere to that which comes forth from me and to consider it first in all things. A fire has begun in the belly of many that is a desire burning for the life that is in me. How many times, Gary, has begun to use the word in his messages, fire, fire, fire. That which proceeds from me is life, it is strength and equipping, it is hope, it is wisdom, it is counsel, it is peace, it is restoration, it is healing. It is everything you need. I am the answer to all things. And in my word that has been written, and in my words that I speak and have spoken, are answers upon answers and masterful equipping for everything you need. That goes right along with the word that we read, when he exalted or put in place the spoken words that he's giving us, that you have in your hand, equal to the written word. And each one of us is either still having a fight or are still having a difficulty to some level believing that this is the word of God. The only way to break that stronghold or that destruction of reasoning is go find it in the Word. Go find it in the Word. I believe Gary's principle is he finds one in the Old Testament, two in the New Testament, something along the line. The principle is there. He's only said it for us. He's pulled it out of the 66 books and says, this is what's on my heart that I want the Holy Spirit to deliver to you now. Because I want it in your heart so that us two can walk together and be in agreement. There's not a single one of them that are out of context. There's not one that brings forth some new, brand new revelation. They're all backed up by the Word. I am the answer to all things, and in my Word that has been written and my words that I speak and have spoken are answers upon answers and masterful equipping for everything you need. Hearken well to the voice of my Spirit, for all that he brings, he has received from me. Takes of his, brings it to us. The days ahead will require attentiveness to all he brings. For I will go before you, and I will have everything you need. Your attentiveness to the words I speak is part of the essential equipping that this season brings. I'm training an army to take heed to my word and to the words I bring, and my Spirit bears witness of these things. Purifying I bring, and the fellowship with me will be rich indeed. Pay attention to, take heed to that which I bring, both individually and corporately, for it is part of your equipping. I'm not going to get on my horse tonight in regards to your own personal blueprint, but I will give you a prediction before the end of the quarter of next year, before the end of the first quarter of next year, you will be glad, extremely glad, that you know who you are in him according to what you look like in heaven. mark it down. That's not a prophecy. That's a prediction. Many are called and few are chosen. And I am choosing those who take heed, those who move with my spirit into deeper fellowship with me. The depths in me always require choosing, listening, following, obeying. And fellowship, much fellowship, is always key. There is never fellowship with me without my spirit. And it is of a vital necessity to hear what he says and to pay attention to what he brings from me. I have many things to say, and I never speak unnecessarily. Take heed to what my spirit brings. He is the excellence of my leadership to my body, for he alone takes of mine to reveal it to you. He brings my words of life to you. Fellowship with my spirit is being brought to a new level as my body understands the importance of not only my written word, but the words I speak to you. Pay close attention to my spirit. He alone takes of mine and delivers it to you. Excellence of fellowship is hearing and taking to heart that which I say to you and that which I show you. I am pleased to say these things, for many are ready to receive that which I bring, and I bring that which is necessary for equipping. I see yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and I know all things. I never bring anything unnecessarily. That means that every word that he has brought to us corporately or individually or as you're meditating on the word chapter after chapter, he has never said anything that is not necessary. He is a guardian of redeeming your time. He doesn't waste time talking to you about someone else's call or gifting. The Holy Spirit is a private tutor. You're not in a classroom. You are in a room with him, one-on-one. And he has everything to tell you for you to be the success. Don't skip any classes. Take homework home with you. Study to show yourself approved. Where was I? Oh, I never bring anything unnecessary. I am most pleased to say these things. It is what fellowshipping with my spirit brings. And now is the time to move forward in me into deeper things of love, faith, service, equipping, and greater understanding of many things. Hear and take heed to my spirit, for he never brings unnecessary things. Is that enough? Father, thank you. More than thank you, Lord. More than thank you. Just thank you for your fellowship. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for sharing your hearts with us. Thank you. that you're sharing your desires, really, Lord, your longings. You've said before that our desires will never match your longings. We're so thankful that you're bringing and increasing our desires to be one with you. We bless you. We bless you and bless you. Everyone said, amen.